I read this last night. I'm reading. You're always looking for something, you know, that, you know, help you in your preaching and makes you, you know, laugh. This has got 50 ways to leave your worry behind. How many of y'all want to hear it? Give thanks to God for the sunrise. Stretch. Number two, stretch. Try yodeling with your while you're brushing your teeth. Be friends with positive people. Amen. Doodle. Amen. What's doodling? Doodling. Scribbling. That's what kids do, yeah? Take a deep breath right now. Ask how big your present crisis will seem 1 year from now, 10 years from now. Skip stones across the water. Yeah. Didn't say throw stones. At, you know, he said, without sin, cast the first stone. Make shadow animals on the wall. Practice saying no in front of the mirror. No. No, you can't have it. No, you can't do it. No. You don't know, tell them, I don't know all the answers today. When you can, walk in the rain. They made a movie about that. When you can, have a water fight. Thank God for a friend's new car. Duplicate your face in a photocopier. Fax it to someone. Facebook, yeah. That's what. Praise others. Y'all so great. Tell the person next to you, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We was at a funeral and the guy said that. Josh and I looked at each other. We laughed our heads off. And there's nothing you can do about it. They got music, gospel music with your eyes closed. Build a paper airplane and throw it. Sing loudly in the car. Roll down the windows. Alex already does that. That's where he got in an accident. Say hello to strangers. Ain't that something? I mean, people don't even say hi to nobody. I walk by people and I say hi. They jump, man. Scare them to death. Give a thumbs up to moving vans. What is that? Moving van going by. Hell, you get out of here. I read this last night. I thought about all kinds of crazy stuff. Listen more. Sneeze louder. Jesse does. I'm telling you, when Jesse, it sounds like a devil comes out of him when he sneezes. I mean, read good books more than once. Ken, this is for you. Give a spouse or a child a back rub. Chickens first. I can see Ken's out there. All right, guys, you can do it. Come on. Get help with jobs you dislike. When on an airplane, remove your shoes. Be careful of this one, because the shoe bomber. You think about that. Plant something each spring. That's something. Plant something every spring. Talk to your kids. Man, that's new, ain't it? Talk to your kids. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your plants. That's Jim and Judy. Yeah, God. Oh, you're so good. Oh, I love you. Delaware's doing it now. Yeah. Exercise. Exercise.
Amen.
Smile.
You're crossing a line now, preacher.
Yeah. Smile. Let me see a smile. Everybody. Man. Learn good, clean jokes.
Amen.
Rest this Sunday.
In church.
In church. Be graceful. Be graceful. Play football with a roll of toilet paper in the house. We used to go to Connecticut every camp meeting. At the end of the camp meeting, they would get toilet paper. I thought that was the stupidest thing they ever did. And old Yankee camp meeting, they would throw toilet paper around the church. I thought that was kind of, we had a lady come to church here, man. Well, we've had a couple ladies come to church, and they came out of the bathroom, and they was rolling toilet paper, was following them. They had pulled it up in their pantyhose, and it was coming down the aisle with their toilet paper hanging. That was funny. Find a child and read Winnie the Pooh together. Avoid negative people. Buy a flower, smell it before you give it away. I think I this year, first time, I bought my wife roses.
Oh, did you smell
it? Yep. Bernie Sanders book? Yeah, Bernie Sanders taught it. No, really, bought her roses this year. I told her, she said, if he ever bought me roses, I think he'd run around on me. I'm not running around. Sing in the shower. Use soap for a microphone. Read a poem. Whistle hymns. There you go. Tickle your kids. Try something new. I don't like this one. Have oldies night once a month. I don't like that. Because the oldies would, I like the oldies. I'm talking about Motown and stuff like that. I like the old, and it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Because it gets you in the flesh. Huh? Yeah. Have oldies night. Yeah, have all the old people come over on Monday. Monday night, all the old ones over here. Take a humor walk. Don't come home until you laughed about something. I can go home anytime because I laugh about all kinds of things. Enjoy a good yawn. Thank God for the sunset. Get enough sleep. 50 ways to leave your weary behind. All right, let's take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I've asked the teens, the class, to come over for about a month until after the youth rally and to be in here with us and just go through some of the book of Romans and stuff like that. Well, Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, we've covered some of this, but we're just rehashing a little bit. It says, likewise, reckon ye your members to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. You know, as a Christian, it's saying don't let sin reign in your life. Don't let sin control you. Why? Because when you got saved, God he broke the chains of sin in your life. He broke that chain, so sin shouldn't reign over you. Now, you still struggle with sin. You still got that struggle. But I've seen a lot of Christians get saved, and man, God delivered them from drugs, drinking, smoking, and stuff. And then after a month or so, they go back and hook themselves back up to it. They go right back to it. And you say, well, they just have that desire. If God delivered you for a month, man, from it, I did it. I went back to drinking and carrying on, went out, because I went out with my old friends. The problem is, when you go back with the old crowd, that's what they do. And you get around them, you're going to fall. You're going to get with that mess. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to be telling dirty jokes. You're going to be singing the same old dirty songs and all that crap. And you're going to be messing. And your new man inside is going to die, start dying inside you. And the Bible says, likewise, reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. I wish somebody would have told me that when I got saved. When I first got saved and started teaching, they started teaching the Bible. But you know what? I wasn't listening. I guess maybe that's what my problem was. I wasn't listening. And I wanted to, I hated sin in my life. But a lot of times we hate sin in other people's lives, but we don't hate sin in our own lives. Amen. We're real careful. We always look down our nose at other people, but we don't look at ourselves. I'll tell you what, if you look in the mirror at yourself, like they said, look in the mirror and say no. If you look in the mirror and spend time fellowshipping with God and looking at yourself through the Word of God, that's the mirror right here. Amen. You start looking in this, you'll start saying, I hate my sin in my life. I hate it. And, you know, I hate it in other people's lives, but I hate it more in mine. I don't want to sin. I never forget, man, I struggle with that. And, you're going to have to struggle till you get that day you die, but it gets easier when you make up your mind. It's easier. You don't have to worry about it. And when you make up your mind, I'm going to do right. I'm going to live for God. And Lord helping me, I'm going to do it. You make up your mind, it's a lot easier. But when you have, when you're kind of like, you know, you're kind of, you know, well, I love my friends, that's the problem. I loved my friends. I had a gang of guys, and I loved them guys. I cared about them, and I kept going back around them. Every time I went around them, I fell in sin every time. And it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. This body doesn't belong to you anymore once you're saved. Yeah. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And the faster you learn that, the more you realize that, man, this body is God's body. Yeah. And the Bible tells you if you don't do what's right, and God's merciful. Like I said, to a child, when a baby gets, when you get first saved, you're like a newborn babe. The Bible tells that in 1 Peter. You're like a newborn babe. God will tolerate stuff in your life. And he'll tolerate it because of your baby. But once you get past that baby stage, when you start growing, God expects more from you. Amen. That's why judgment is harder on a Christian that's been saved for a long time or a while, and they haven't, and they just keep going back to the same old mess. If we had everybody that got saved here today, we had them in church, if we couldn't even, the gym would be too small. It would be too small. But what happens is, They're babies, they don't grow up, or they go back out and get into sin, and then the trouble comes in their life, and they go away from God, they're embarrassed, and then they just live their life in ruin. I was standing in Dunkin' Donuts the other day, and getting a cup of coffee, and a guy was standing, about 40-some years old, had a little baby, and I ordered coffee, and I was talking to him. I went to give him a track. He goes, hey, Pastor Ryman. And I have that happen to me all the time. And he says, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, no, I don't. And I said, I'm Brad. I said, Brad. I said, are you the Brad that George used to always fight with on the bus? I'm the Brad. I said, your parents live over in Hartley? He goes, yeah, that's right. He said, can you believe it? I'm 40. I said, you're about 40, 41, ain't you? He said, yeah. I said, Brad, you get that baby in church? He just kind of hung. He said, I know, Pastor. I know. I said, man, we'd love to have you, brother. And that boy, him and George, every time they got together in the van, Samson would have to chase them down. I mean, they'd be fighting in the van. He had to pull over. I mean, they'd be fist fighting in the van. They were teenagers. They'd be back there punching each other, and they grew up together, and George was always a little guy. Brad was big. Now, then George ended up bigger than Brad. And but Brad, I said, you know what happens? You said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it on the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. God's telling you, and he's saying, sin's not going to have dominion over you. If you only way it can have dominion over you, if you let it. You let it. Because when he saved you, he broke that chain, man. But what happens is Christians, like the Bible talks about the dog returning to his vomit. We're like that, man. We're like dogs returning to their vomit, like pigs wallowing in the mire. We go right back to it. If you're not growing, what happens is, if you're not reading this book and you're not fellowship with God, you start going backwards, and then you go right back to the same old mess. Simon Peter stood out there, and he was cursing and swearing because of the crowd he was with. We'll talk about that later. It says, neither. You know what? I found Christians don't want to go against the grain. And you'll be around people at work, and they'll start telling dirty jokes, and you'll sit there and laugh with them. And the Holy Ghost of God will convict you about it, and you won't say nothing. And I've got to where I didn't want to hear it. I told guys, I said, look, is this going to be clean? And they would always go, yeah, it's clean. I said, I don't want to hear it. I walk up. It wasn't trying to be social with them, but it's when it came down to messing my mind up, I didn't want them to mess up my mind. I can hear an old song from the past, and it's just how the devil works, man. I can hear an old song from the past, and I walk into some store or something, and that thing will keep ringing and 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 keep going, playing over and over, like somebody took a jukebox and just put it on and stuck it on there. Only way I can get rid of it is I have to start singing something else, a gospel song, to get it out of my mind. I got to do that. I do it. Why? You say, do that so it don't affect me. And some of y'all get in your cars, you'll sit there and listen to country music. You'll listen to junk, and you'll be going down the road, and you'll be feeling sorry for yourself. And you say, well, it makes me feel good. You ever seen people pull up red light, and they're going, You know, they're doing all that stuff. They're listening to song. Everybody's trying to find something to make them feel good. The flesh. Now, I tell you what, when I sing gospel songs, it makes my flesh feel good. It makes my soul inspired. I get running around shouting, man, over that thing. But what you do is don't let the devil have a stronghold in your life. Don't let sin get a stronghold again. And the devil wants it. He's got that chain. He's waiting. He's got the leash. He wants to put it right back on you. And I always say the devil can't get your soul, but he can get your life, your wife, your children, everything else if you let him. Don't let him put the chain back on you. But some Christians so willing, they go right up there and they go, okay, go ahead. I miss it. It's like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Man, we miss the melons. We miss all that stuff. They fought against Moses. Moses, the deliverer, came to help them. And all they did was fight him. And that's why God said, that crowd ain't going in. 40 years it cost them. That crowd ain't going in. And you know what? That was a whole generation. Now, your family's here. You can affect a generation. You can affect the generations. That your generation and a generation to follow you. It all depends on how you yield to God and how you yield yourself. You can affect that generation. Now, my generation, my family, I got saved. It affected my mom and dad's generation because they got saved and God changed their life. And then it not only did it affect the generation behind or the one in front of me, it also affected the generation after me. Right. You can affect the generation. He said, that crowd ain't going in. 40 years, man. My wife and I just celebrated 41 years marriage. And what happened was when we got saved, it affected a past generation. Her dad got saved. My mom and dad got saved. My brother that's in prison got saved. My sister got saved. All that and parts of the family that are half brothers, half sisters, they got saved. God affected that. And then it affects the children after that. And my children is affected. And then now my grandchildren is affected. And Lord willing, maybe one day it'll affect my great-grandchildren. Amen. It all depends on who you yield to. Depends on who you yield. And you say, "Why? I'm just hurting nobody but myself." No, you're hurting, number one, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting God. Amen. He's the one that bought you. Your members belong to him. Says verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. The members is your hands, your eyes, your ears. That's the devil, the greatest tool the devil uses against us is our eyes and our ears. Amen. And that the eyes and the ears affect the hands and the feet. Your eyes and ears affect your hands, what you do, and where you go. So it's up to you. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of sin and hating sin in my life. And what a lot of people end up blowing their heads off. Say, I can't fight this fight. Yes, you can. You can fight this fight. This fight, I mean, if you yield to God, the fight gets, you got him in your corner. And not only is he in your corner, when you get ready to go into the middle of the ring, he goes in with you. And he empowers you. And I had to learn the lesson, man. I got sick of it. I got sick and tired of it. And I said, Lord, help me. I want to stand. I want to fight. I don't want to yield no more. I'm tired of yielding to the flesh. I'm tired of yielding to what the devil wanted me to do. And you've got to make up your mind. When you make up your mind, that's half the battle. Really, when you make up your mind, God help me, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to look at anything. The Bible says, set no wicked thing before your eyes. You got to be careful what you're looking at. And I know stuff, you'd be innocent, man. I've been innocent many, many times. And stuff will pop up and you'll see it and you'll want to see more. The flesh does. It says, hey, whoa, don't turn that, don't turn. You better turn it quick, because if you debate it, you'll watch it. You better turn it quick. You say, have you always done that? No, I haven't. And then the Lord convicted me. I feel like I'm trash. I feel like I'm garbage. I feel like there's some wickedness on me. And I gotta go, oh God, I'm sorry. I've cried before him. Said, Lord, I hate this. I don't want this stuff in my life. Amen. And that's what the battle is. Folks, when the Bible talks about being a soldier, that's what the battle is. Put on the whole armor of God. See, we think when we put on the whole armor of God, that means a missionary going to the field. No, man. It's right now, every day you live.
Right, amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Look in Ephesians 6. Look at this. God's already equipped you how to fight, but most Christians don't want to fight. They don't want to learn either. God's already given you all the equipment. Can you imagine getting to heaven and you said, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I just couldn't get over stuff down there. I just kept falling. And the Lord said, I gave you all the equipment. I was there beside you. The Holy Ghost of God is inside you, and I was trying to help you. And you just won't. You just wouldn't do it. But other things you do, you have no problem with it.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 6, look at this. And this is elementary, my dear Watson. It's elementary. It's so elementary that we overlook it.
Yeah.
It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the whole system is geared against you. You say, wow, that's scary. Yeah, it is. Everything's geared to take you away from God. The whole system. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the biggest enemy is you, your flesh. The system is set up to take you away from God. And once you realize that, the system is against you, and it's to take you away from God, then you'll say, okay, God. All right. You know, when I went in the military, you got to go in the military. You had the drill sergeant yelled at us and, I mean, threatened to beat us and fight and all that stuff. I told you some of that stuff that happened in my life. I didn't want to yield. I said, I ain't yielding. He ain't telling me what to do. And I got in a fight with the drill sergeant. And the Lord taught me through that thing there. The drill sergeant, I hated him. When we get off the truck, I hated this guy. I hated them. They're in my face, man. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to keep me alive.
Amen.
The Vietnam War was on. They were trying to keep me alive because they figured I was going to Vietnam. And those guys are in my face. They were telling us what to do, man, make us do push-up physical stuff. They were making us up at 4 o'clock in the morning, standing out there in the snow in Missouri, man. Standing out there in Missouri in the snow at 4 o'clock in the morning, standing at attention. And man, freezing cold. And we're standing out there, and then we had to march, and then we had to do this, and we didn't eat breakfast till about 7 o'clock in the morning, but we marched 20 miles and did all that running and all that. Oh, man, there was crying and whining and people falling out, and guys, well, I want my mama. And there's some guys that I was tripping over. I remember I ran around them, and I got right behind the drill sergeant, and he turned around and said, Ryman, what are you doing here? I said, sir, I'm tired of the crybabies. I'm tired of all them back there. I wanted to be right behind you. He's all right, Ryman, stay there. And I ran with him. And when I first got there, I was one of them whiny crybabies. I didn't want it. I would go back to prison. At least I could sleep in. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, that's the way Christians are right now. I want the easy road. But I'm going to tell you something. Once you yield, the road becomes easy. It just becomes easy. Easier, put it that way. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is when you're tempted, when things come at you, when you have to make a choice. Am I going to, nobody's around, nobody's watching. I can get away with this. That's the test of your character. Guess who's watching? God's watching. It's going to determine whether you go on or not for God and victory. That determines the test of your character. Is when you by yourself, where you and what you could get away with, and nobody know about it. Amen. That's the test of your character. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, after you've done everything you can to stand. You know, we always say, I'm taking a stand. And in the military, they said, we're going to take a stand right here to the death. We're taking a stand. Even if they charge us, we're going to take a stand. And that's what you got to do, man. You got to take a stand. Amen. And you dig in. Amen. Dig in, take a stand. And the Bible says, after you've done all you can do to take a stand, it says, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about the truth. We got the truth. It says, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. And it says, and that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, taking the helmet of salvation, is protect your mind. Put the helmet on, protect your mind, because your mind will wander. You know, isn't it crazy? They say 10,000 thoughts go through your head every day. You'll want to feel sorry for yourself. You want to cry. You want to laugh. All these different things that go through your head. I deserve better. I should have more. I should do this. I should do that. All these thoughts. And what you do is say, Lord, help me to have your way, not mine. Not my will, but thine be done. If you pray that, God will direct you. I said the other day, I said, you know, God directed our steps to go different places. And you say, Lord, help me be in the center of your will. Direct me. He will. I'm going to tell you something. God cares more about you than you care about yourself, even though we do care a lot about ourselves. God cares a lot more. God sees what you can be. He knows your potential. He knows what you're able to do. And he'll equip you for that if you'll just trust him. It says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I mean, folks, a man, it's a battle. It's a fight. And we're supposed to we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So once you realize that this battle is real, it is real. And there is somebody that is your adversary that hates your guts, and they could care less if you made friends with them or not. I watched this thing where Josh or somebody showed me. It was about a lion. And these lions, African lions, they're like 500 pounds, 600 pounds. And this car drives through this African or China, wherever it was. And they drive through, and this lion got right up on top of the car, 500-pound lion. And he got on the car, and all he wanted to do, he didn't care. You know, if you stuck your fingers out there, say, here, kitty, kitty, here, take this, they'd eat your hand off. The devil care less if you're trying to make friends with him. He'll devour you. And what a lot of Christians try to do, they try to make, you know, the Bible tells us to make friends with, you know, evil mammon, that kind of thing. But it says for the gospel's sake, not for the flesh's sake. So when you try to make friends, you say, I think if I could talk, they got a movie about the devil on TV. It's a series. It's about this guy being the devil, and he wanted to change. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's called what, Lucifer? And he wants to change, and he falls in love. Oh, isn't that? See, the devil's not a bad guy. He wants out. He don't like his role. No, the devil ain't changing one bit. Go back to Romans chapter 6. If the devil can get you off track and knock you down He will devour you. There's a guy right here. I brought this out this morning. I picked this up. This guy right here in the middle got saved here at the church. He was sitting about right there. He got saved. I've told y'all about this guy before. It says, to know Lord. It was his brother. It's to his brother. To know, 2001 or 2002. Love your sister, Stella. Love your sister, Stella. This guy got saved. Went back drinking. Went back out with his brother, Noel. They went out drinking one night. Came back to the farm that used to be over here in Holly, was it? Something Hollow.
Jockey Hollow.
The farm was back there in Jockey Hollow. And he was so drunk that Noel put him in a trailer outside there and said he didn't want him to throw up in the house. And his wife had left him, his wife right here. I preached his funeral. He's got two children sitting here. This guy, that's where Noel kept his guns. He had a shotgun, or I can't remember if it was a double barrel or a single shot. He woke up feeling sorry for himself. And I know the devil right there saying, you're a flop, you're no good. He took that shotgun and stuck it under his jaw and pulled the trigger and blew his head off. I keep that picture in my office. They gave me that picture at his funeral. That's a life wasted. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants you to waste your life. And if you waste your life, you can never be a threat to him. You can never see other people saved. You can never be a testimony. What kind of testimony did he leave for his family? I went down, I was preaching his funeral, I went down to his children. As I was preaching, I said, it's not your fault. Your father was selfish. He lived for himself. Don't blame yourself. Kids were crying. I didn't do that to hurt them. I said, don't blame yourself. But that guy, that was, I don't know how many years ago now. Just think about if he would just want one soul to Christ a year. Just one soul. Maybe even drove a bus, like Brother Bill and Brother Dave. Just drove a bus, brought the kids, that he would have something on his account for the Lord. Say, was he saved? Said he is. He could have made a difference. God could have restored his marriage. His children could be in church serving God. You know what he did? He yielded to sin. You either yield to sin or you yield to God. Made up my mind a long time ago. We just had the 30-year thing Wednesday night. I said, now I'm starting another 30 year till the Lord come back. Starting new. I'm going to keep on. Whether I'm a pastor or what, I'm going to keep on. I don't want to waste my life. I want to make it account for Jesus Christ. And you guys are young. You got the greatest opportunity. You got a lot of life to live. You got a lot of years to live to serve God. It's up to you. When the Bible equips you, God says, I equipped you. I give you all that you need. All you got to do is put your life in my hands. If you put your life in my hands, I mean, you have to do it every day, though. Every day, because a lot of times what we do, we'll say, Lord, take the wheel. Lord, you got the wheel. You got the wheel. But then all of a sudden you say, I want it back. Every day you got to give. Let's say, Lord, you take over. God, have your will and way in my life. Help me not to yield to the sin. Well, I could tell you story after story after story after story after story of tragic things people yielded. So did you jump on Brad at the Dunkin' Donuts and say, you dirty rotten stinking dog, you abandoned, you're AWOL. No, I didn't do that. I put my arm up on him. I said, Brad, we love you. I said, that's why we always went after you. I'm sorry I haven't been there since then, but we love you. So we got a fire or something going on down here. Somebody's cooking something? Huh? Oh, Eddie's cooking. That's why. I thought somebody done set the building on fire. Devil trying to burn us out. Look at verse 14 of chapter 6. We'll read on down. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your members servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom you obey. Yep. If you yield your members to the flesh and the devil, that's who your master is. Yep. Whether of sin on the death or of obedience on the righteousness, but God be thanked for that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, look what it says, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. The biggest thing that if you got to be careful, the Bible says to guard your heart, guard it. Because the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. You got to guard it. You got to say, God, help me, my heart be for you. Help my heart to love you. Help my heart want to serve you. And you got to yield yourself to God. And it says, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. It says, when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye were now ashamed? I didn't have no fruit other than rotten. All I had was rotten fruit from before I was saved. And when you saved and you go back to sin, all you'll have is rotten fruit. Rotten. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, became the servants to God, have you your fruit on the holiness and the end, everlasting life. Then it says, for the wages of sin. There it is. That's for a Christian. That's for a quick, we use this as a soul winning verse, but it says the wages of sin is death. That's to a Christian. You can sin, and there's a sin on the death for a child of God. There is a sin on the death. And you can yield yourself that to servants to sin, but it's up to you. Where is it? 1 John 1, 6. And it talks about the old man, the new man. And the old man, it says, look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So that's the old man. If we confess our sins, look what it says. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. I get a cleansing every day. I get cleansed. Why? Because I think wrong. You look at stuff, you've seen these stuff, you have to ask God to forgive you. Your thought life is the biggest problem most Christians have is a thought life. And it all depends on what you're putting in there. And the Word of God is like water. It's a filter. The more the Word of God you put in there, if you put pictures and images in your eyes and through your eye gate, and it gets locked in,
I've got images in my head from years past. I've got images when my brother came back from Vietnam. He butchered people in Vietnam. He had pictures of people, women he cut open and all kinds of stuff he did, cut ears off. I have those images still there. They're still there. I could still see it. I have images from the past of movies and wickedness and all that stuff is still there. So the way I keep it down is I read the Word of God because it's there. It stays there. Once you put it in, it's there. It's like a computer, man, like the internet. Once you put it out there, it's there. It stays there. So the Word of God talks about in Titus, it says, by the washing of the water, by the Word. Go to Titus chapter 3, I think it is. So the more the Word of God you get in there, it helps keep it down. It doesn't wash it out, but it helps filter it. It helps keeps it down in your life. Titus chapter 3, I said. Where is it? Here it is. No, well, that's not what I was looking for. Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I was looking for the washing of the water of the word. I thought it was in Titus. It's Ephesians. Ephesians what? Somebody find that. By the washing of the water of the word.
Ephesians 5:26.
There it is. Ephesians 5:26. He says, that he might sanctify, look what it says, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. He's talking about the church. As husband, verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The Word of God is a cleansing agent, but it doesn't completely wash all of it out of your mind. It's still there. He washed away your sins. He forgave your sin, but the stuff that you put in there is still there. But what he does, he suppresses it. He keeps it down. And you quit reading your Bible for a while, all those old images, all that stuff will start popping back up. It just start popping up. And before long, you'll be thinking about that stuff. Now go to chapter 3 of 1 John, and we'll stop here. Showing you why you can't lose your salvation. We believe you can't lose your salvation, and the reason why, because the Bible teaches it, that you can't lose it. But it says, verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Have you all sinned? Yep. When you're sinning, guess who you're listening to? He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. Have you sinned? Yeah. But this is talking about the soul. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. I can't sin. I'm sinless. But I still got sin in my life. So that, is that a contradiction? No. One's talking about the flesh, one's talking about the soul. And my soul can't sin. And chapter 7 shows you that we were divorced from our flesh, in a sense, and we were married to Jesus Christ. He became, according to what the Bible teaches. And Jesus Christ is supposed to be controlling our lives. He's inside of us. Look on down, verse 9. We'll stop with this. Verse says, whosoever born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remain in them. He cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifested, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not the righteousness is not of God, neither is he that doeth, that loveth not his brother. So on. But we'll get into that next time, all right? All right. Any questions on anything? Any questions on any of that? Anybody got any questions? All right. Take about a 5-minute break, and we'll come back.